Good day, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. How long will it be before the next time somebody takes a gun, a high-powered, fast-shooting rifle, and walks into a school or a church or a grocery store and kills a lot of people in a flash? Is it days? Is it weeks? Is it months? We know that the answer can't be much longer than that. Not in this country. It hasn't been. Not for a really long time. We keep doing this over and over and over again. And so here we are today, trying to make sense, trying to figure out what we're supposed to do in response to the deaths of 19 children and two teachers in a Texas elementary school. Are you surprised? Seriously? Are you shocked? I understand the other range of emotions that I think we're all feeling right now. The anger, the frustration. But you can't really say that you're surprised that this happened. Not if you've been paying attention. There's 400 million guns in this country. That's more guns than people. And every couple of weeks, every couple of months, somebody takes one of those guns, or a couple of them, and does something horrific. I'm done trying to express enough emotion to try to inspire change here. I don't know what would work. How many dead kids do we have to know about? How many dead grocery shoppers do we have to learn about? How many times do we have to hear about the ease with which somebody gets their hands on a weapon that can slice children into tiny bits in a matter of seconds? Wonder about what's going on with that person, why they did it. There isn't a point beyond which we're willing to say enough. There doesn't seem to be enough of an impetus to action, inspired by horror. And so I think we have to maybe start talking in just very stark and logical terms about all of this. What are the practical things that can be done? I don't think we can solve this problem entirely because it is an American problem. It is a reflection of not just who we are right now, the way we relate to each other, the way we think of guns. It's a reflection of who we have always been in this country. This is a violent country. By many measures, the most violent nation to ever exist on the planet. Born of the plundering of a native nation, built on the toil of people stolen from another continent, and defended over and over and over again through violence, expanded through violence. So I don't think we can ever imagine that that history and the present don't create these kinds of incidents. But we can make them rarer. We can make it harder. We can make a lot of things make way more sense than they already do. We're here again today, changing the program that we had planned for Detroit Today to talk about carnage, absolute carnage. The image that sticks most in my mind from yesterday is the one of the line of parents outside the school where this happened, walking in to give DNA samples so they could match them with the remains of slaughtered children. That's how much damage, that's how much absolute violence was done inside this school. So, I don't know. What are we supposed to do? How do we get to a better place? I have a few ideas, and I'm going to throw them out there. And then I want to hear from you. What are your ideas? How do we change the narrative here? On my list are background checks, universal background checks. The support for that in this country is near universal, and yet we can't get Congress to enforce it, to adopt it, to say this is how we're going to live in this country. Also on my list is weapons regulation. Why do we regulate hand grenades if you can just walk to the corner store and buy an AR-15, which does almost the same amount of damage in almost the same amount of time? We need to have a practical conversation about what's a reasonable gun for somebody to be able to buy and possess. Is that any gun we can invent? That doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that's what the Constitution was talking about. Why can't we have a conversation about what's reasonable? I also think we need to talk about the connection between legal gun sales and illegal use. Who's responsible for that? Who should be responsible for it? I don't think the answer is nobody. It's not just the person doing it. Why can't we discuss how to discourage sales of these kinds of weapons to people who intend to use them for, well, the only purpose that they are made for, killing a lot of people? And last on my list, and far from least, is young men. 99% of these crimes are committed by young men in our country. And here's another fact. The overwhelming majority of those young men are white young men. Why aren't we talking about white culture in this country? The culture that is producing the people who do these things. In this case, in Texas, it was a Latino young man. But he's in the minority, the distinct minority here. Just a few weeks ago, we were talking about Buffalo, where a young white man drove hundreds of miles into a city to go kill African Americans. Flip the demographics here. If this were happening and it were African American young men doing it all the time, how much would we be talking about black culture? How much would we be talking about black responsibility? How much would we be talking about black families? and how they raise their children. Seems to me we have a conversation to be had about white America. How is it producing these killers? I want to open up the phones and social media. Hear your ideas. Hear your reactions. As always, the number is 313-577-1019, 313-577-1019. You can go to Facebook. You can go to Twitter and leave comments there. But before we get to callers, I want to play a little sound. There were so many sounds yesterday that caught my attention. People reacting to this, talking about it. The one that stood out, though, is a clip of Senator Chris Murphy, who represents Connecticut, who really, I think, embodies just the desperation, the exhaustion of this moment.
What are we doing? Why do you spend all this time running for the United States Senate? Why do you go through all the hassle of getting this job? Of putting yourself in a position of authority. If your answer is that as this slaughter increases, as our kids run for their lives, we do nothing. What are we doing? Why are you here? If not to solve a problem as existential as this.
Why are you here? Great question. Great question for everybody in the Senate. Great question for everybody in the House. Why are you here? Gun rights are enshrined in our Constitution. No question about that. I would have it be different. I would amend the Constitution to say something really different. But look, that's the Constitution we have. It is not a pact with carnage. It is not a pact with self-destruction, and that is what we've decided it should be. That makes no sense. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's start with Sally in Milford. Sally, welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you. I just am as saddened and disgusted and frustrated as, you know, so many other people are, and I just had a question that I'm hoping, can someone explain to me the relationship between money and the lobbyists and what the lobbyists, how they are controlling our laws? It doesn't make any sense where the majority of the country wants certain things to happen with gun laws, and yet a company, I thought the NRA had gone bankrupt, and yet they still have money to pay lobbyists and influence our laws, even though they are a minority. Thank you.
Yeah. Sally, it's a great question, and there are very complicated explanations that I would encourage you to go to the internet, go to Google, and look up how lobbying works. But quite simply, the First Amendment to our Constitution allows us to petition for a redress of grievances, which is interpreted as us being able to go to our lawmakers and say, hey, here's what I want. Here's what I think the policy ought to look like in our country. Over time, that has morphed into modern lobbying, which is about whose voice gets heard. In that process, people with money have more access because they can support people's campaigns or not support people's campaigns. More importantly, I think the thing that the NRA has done, if you look through their contributions, they don't give as much money to representatives as you might think they do. But what they have is this threat, really, that they can hold over lawmakers' heads. If you vote for gun regulation, if you don't, make it easy for gun manufacturers to distribute their weapons. We will run someone against you. We'll support somebody who will. And, you know, the truth is that in the system that we have, because of the way districts are carved up, because of the U.S. Senate and the way it is structured, minority voices sometimes can hold the majority. They can get what they want, even though most people don't. And that's kind of the complicated part of it. And again, I think there are some really good explanations that you can find on Google. But there's no question that that needs to look different than it does. The protections that exist in our country for minority interests were protections against tyrannical majorities. They weren't intended to create tyrannical minorities, which is what we're suffering in many different places, and not just gun legislation, where a minority interest, gun manufacturers, have their complete way with the laws in our country. Think of the other issues that are controlled by minority interests. That was never the intent in the framing of this country, and it has reached, I think, kind of an apex in the last 10 or 20 years, as the country has been more divided, as you have a party, the GOP, that is dying demographically and must resort to these kinds of minority set-asides in order to have any power. It is not a good situation, and it is perpetuating the things that we're dealing with. These shootings are tied to the inability of the majority to regulate guns in a sensible way. Sally, I really appreciate the question, or the call, and the question. Let's go next to Lindsay in Royal Oak. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Stephen. Thank you so much for having me on and having this really important discussion. I just wanted to make a really quick point about elected officials and how I kind of think that this is probably the most important election of our lifetimes this fall. I've been volunteering in gun violence prevention for about 7 years now. My son was a baby when Sandy Hook happened, so as soon as he was a little older, I had a little time to get in the fight, I joined, and we're so close to having a majority of folks here in Michigan that could make the change, but until we elect enough, we're just in a stalemate. So I would encourage people to do their research and vote for people who will actually vote for things like background checks and red flag laws and a domestic violence law, that kind of thing. And then aside from my work in gun violence prevention, just my personal take on the mental health side, why are we handing guns out to folks who haven't even had their prefrontal cortex fully formed yet? Apparently, that does not get formed until you're about age 25. That's the part of the brain that deals with impulse.
Yeah. Judgment.
So yeah, maybe we need to be thinking about that part too. So that's my little hot take on that.
Yeah,
so
Lindsay, absolutely.
Needs to vote.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Lindsay. That's something we ought to be talking about. One of the little data points in yesterday's tragedy is the change in 2021 to Texas gun laws that that permitted certain 18-year-olds to go and buy weapons. Not very smart. And in this case, tragic, because the news reports are saying that the young man who did this went and bought at least some of the weapons that he owned on his 18th birthday. Okay, when we come back, we're going to continue talking about this carnage in Texas that killed 19 children and two teachers. We want to continue to hear from you on the phones, on social media. 313-577-1019 is the number. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook and Twitter, put comments there. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
WDET is your place for open dialogue.
The music you love.
Real news and in-depth analysis.
And cultural experiences. The sound of Detroit.
101.9 WDET is your public radio station.
This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. We're talking about the carnage that was unleashed on 19 children in Uvalde, Texas yesterday, and how it connects to the horrible, horrible culture of violence that we live with in this country. I am tired, I think, as most people are, of trying to express enough emotion to try to get things to change in this country. Instead, I'm just trying to throw out some ideas that make common sense, some things that we ought to alter about gun laws, about the way we think about our culture, the way we think about young men in this country, the way we think about white young men in this country, the overwhelming perpetrators of this violence. Why aren't we talking about these things in practical terms? Want to hear from you as well on the phones. 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook or Twitter, put comments there, and we can work you into the conversation. Let's go next to Joel in Monroe. Joel, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing, Steven? Thanks for taking my call. My comment is simply, I don't blame the guns. I blame the lack of mental preparedness or mental screening. People just don't, I don't know why our country doesn't take our mental health more seriously. All these people that are creating these tragedies, they have mental issues that are going unnoticed and untreated. And I don't blame the weapon. I blame the psychological state of the person who's committed them. And so we address that and screen for that, even like for gun sales. If you haven't had a mental health screening, you get no business purchasing a gun.
Joel, I absolutely agree with you in part, but I want to make a couple of points. No question, mental health screening should be part of buying a weapon. I don't think there's anything unwise or overly intrusive about that. But here are a couple of things to think about. Mental illness is not more prevalent in this country than it is in other countries. We don't have more people facing more problems than they do in Europe or Australia or the rest of the Western world. What we do have is easier access to guns. What we do have is more guns in circulation than those countries have. And so I think mental illness plays a role, no question, in a lot of the violence that we see in our country. But the reason that that mental illness results in tragedies like what we saw yesterday is because it is so easy to get a gun. It's not in other countries, which is why they don't see those things. The other point I would make is I think it's really dangerous to pin these kinds of issues on one thing. And if you notice, when I gave my list of ideas about things to change, there were a lot of different things on there. It's not just about guns. It's also about mental health. It's also about culture. Either ors, I think, don't really serve us well in thinking these kinds of things through. It's both and everything else, right? This is an American problem. This is an American culture that produces this. That's not just about guns. You're absolutely right. But it is also about guns. The other thing I don't love about the invocation of mental illness here is there are lots and lots of people who struggle with mental illness or some sort of mental impairment. And the vast majority of them, they never do this. This isn't about that for the most part. This really is about when people who are unstable in some way get access to guns, when they can go to the corner store, as I said, and buy a weapon that can kill 19 children in a few seconds. Joel, I really do appreciate the call and the comments, though. Let's go next to Phyllis in Warren. Phyllis, welcome to the show.
Hi, Stephen, I appreciate your monologue today and all your comments. It's a kind of a very thoughtful and thought-provoking thing that you did today, and this is important. My absolute perfect theory, of course, is that why not have government-controlled weapon sales? Why can't you get ammunition only at a government store? You may buy guns for the purpose of having a gun, but you cannot get any ammunition for that gun unless it's sold through a government-controlled store. If we could do it with alcohol, and we still do, then why can't we do it with ammunition? You can't get any ammunition. How it's restricted? Let it be restricted to the handgun, for example, mm-hmm. unless you're in the police or something else and you need some type of other ammunition. And to have the automatic weapons that we see is insane. The fact that it is a white problem is distressing to me because it should not be, but white people have become the kind of mental and physical perpetrators of so much power that they do as they please. I do not like that. I don't know how to change that except to dye everybody a different color. What if they were blue? What would happen to them then? And there were blue people. And there had been for some time. They may now be all dissipated, but there are blue people, were blue people. And
Phyllis, I think that's a really thought-provoking call. And you're absolutely right about regulation. Regulation of ammunition is something that I think we ought to be talking more about. The difference, though, between guns or ammo and something like alcohol is, of course, the Constitution. And listen, I said earlier, I don't agree that the Second Amendment, as it's written, should be part of the modern Constitution in this country. I would support something really different, maybe eliminating it altogether, maybe something that gave government more ability to keep people safe from these kinds of things. But the truth is that is the Constitution that we have, and it does prevent us from, I think, the kind of sensible regulation that we might imagine. It does not, however, prevent us from some really basic things. Some of the things that I talked about, background checks, those aren't unconstitutional. It is not unconstitutional to look into the connection between legal gun sales and illegal activity and try to assess responsibility for that. Those are things that we can do, and we have chosen not to do those things, which means that we have chosen to live with all of the crazy things that are happening. Phyllis, really appreciate the call and the question. Let's go to Ashley in South Lyon. Ashley, what's on your mind?
Hi, Stephen. Hi. So admire your ability to be so collected.
Well, that is what they asked me to do here.
What's on my mind is there's grassroots groups like Moms for Liberty that are so dead set against mask mandates in school and textbooks that might mention same-sex couples, and they are completely silent today on Instagram, which is very telling.
Yeah, yeah. Ashley, that is, I think, an important dimension of this. What people are obsessed with, what people are focused on right now, and what they're not. I have a lot of respect, at least in theory, for people who say that they are pro-life. I think if you believe that life, all life is sacred, then there's nothing about that position I can argue with. I mean, I think there's a liberty question with regard to childbirth that has to be balanced against that. But I don't think you're wrong if you are pro-life. But if you're pro-life, if you're pro-innocent life, how can you not be absolutely exercised today? How can you not think that children sitting in a school, people shopping in a grocery store, people worshiping in a church or a synagogue aren't worthy of the same kind of extreme government protection that some of my pro-life friends want for the unborn, that they want for the minds of their children in school to protect them from quote-unquote dangerous ideas? I mean, there's a false echo to all of that when something like this happens. Are you really pro-life? Or do you just want to control the things that you care about? And not control them for yourself, control them for other people. I think a lot of people have to look in the mirror today and really ask themselves what they stand for. What do you believe? And what are you willing to do to express that belief? Okay, coming up, we are going to pivot and talk about how Detroit can boost its tax revenue by taxing land differently than it taxes buildings. Really interesting idea to deal with the sky-high taxes, property taxes that we pay here in the city of Detroit. Stay with us for more Detroit Today.